All right. Obviously, Pashlin's not here. He's in Bulgaria. So I see this as a honor to be able to speak today. I will use Dean Yates. Y'all love Dean. I'll use his vernacular for a second and say, you know, I'm not the normal guy who'd be up here. So if you don't like me, come back next week and Pashlin's going to be here and it's all going to be good. So I just encourage you, listen today. And if you don't like it, it's all right. It's all right. I'm me. So can we just pray? I love to pray. I've obviously prayed like 10 times already today, but let's just keep on praying. Father, thank you for your word. God, we just thank you for what your word does. We believe that when your word goes forth, it does not return void, but it accomplishes on the inside of us everything that's necessary to accomplish. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you didn't leave us as orphans, but that you give us wisdom. You make your word come alive in our lives, and that we can truly leave here changed and transformed by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So I want to talk today about change. Whew. Instantly, when we say the word change, there's a lot of stuff that comes up on the inside of people, right? It kind of conjures up on the inside of us different thoughts. Sometimes change brings fear. Sometimes change brings just this idea, change is bad. We don't like change. Change isn't good. Let's be consistent, right? So change is one of those big words that as soon as I bring it up, some of you probably even checked out instantly when I said change. But I want to talk about, for just a second, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. How many of you know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa? All right, cool. It's a leaning tower in the city called Pisa. It's pretty much as simple as that. But basically, it's a really old building. It was built in the 1100s. And back in the 1100s, it was one of the best architects. They still say he was probably one of the best architects, engineers that's ever walked the face of the planet. And he did a great job on the tower. What he didn't expect is that the tower was going to start sinking into the ground. And so that's a little scary. And so he had everything lined out. The foundation was perfect. Everything was great. But the ground underneath the foundation was made of some kind of clay or something. And so it started to sink, and it sunk about a 20th of an inch every single year. We say that's not very much, right? That's just a 20th of an inch. But now it's been how many years? 900 and something years since it's been built. So a 20th of an inch every single year is a lot. So now it's like 17 feet tilted to the side. Pretty crazy. And anyway, so it's not going to fall over. They don't think anymore. They used to think it was just going to continue to go until it just fell over. But they fixed it and they did some different things. They balanced it and weighted it. Anyway, all those things. My whole point for that story today, just to give us a visual of how important it is that what we build our foundation on is so crucial in our lives. Amen. It's so important that we have a foundation that is solid, that we build our house on the rock, right? Jesus talks about it. We can actually go there. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. So I ask a couple of questions for us today. I ask, what is our foundation built on? What is our house built on? And I think it's so crucial for us as Christians to ask that question because it's obvious that a foundation is important. We can't build a building without a foundation, right? Without a foundation, it's not going to last very long, at least. We'll say it that way. Is your foundation solid? What happens in life when the winds come and when the storms come and when the flood comes and the things come and beat upon our door of life, which happens all the time? Is our foundation solid and will we withstand or will we be washed away and be like the foolish man, right? So I'm going to talk about change today. I'm hopefully just going to bring a perspective from my perspective. This is just me, okay? Some things that I've learned in my life and just some things that I think I've put inside of my life that have been a foundation. And so we're going to go from there. But I ask the question, are you ready for change? Not only to withstand the change. Sometimes we think about, okay, well, I'm going to stand. I don't think it's just about to withstand the change, but it's to be able to grow in the change and to do what Paul talks about and to be transformed in the process. And so that's what I want to talk about today, changing from the perspective that when you build a skyscraper, okay, we have to have a really solid foundation. And what is our goal in life? Pastor Lynn talked about the purpose of a Christian is to become like Christ, to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's a big goal. And one of the things in that process is that we have to have a foundation in place in order to do that. If there's no foundation for growth, you might grow a little bit, and then you're probably going to fall over at every little type of wind or every little circumstance that comes your way, right? So it's important that we have this foundation. They say that there are two things consistent in life, two things that always happen, death and taxes. All right. The one's goofy, I know, but it's probably true, except for those who don't pay their taxes. But for me, I'm going to add a third one into that. And for me, change is something that will always happen. Change is something that will happen in life. Whether if we like it or not, change will take place. Science talks about change, that change happens all the time. Every single living organism is constantly changing, constantly moving, constantly being different. Does that make sense? So for us, change is something that's going to happen. And it can conjure up something in our mind that change is bad or that change is not a good thing. I want to encourage us today that whether if the change that comes, let's be prepared to change for the better. And let's be prepared that when problems come, when circumstances come, when situations come in our life, that we have a foundation that can withstand the changes of life. So I just want to tell you from a personal standpoint, I'm making a decision in my own life that I'm not going to play the blame game. I don't want to be a person that constantly points fingers that when problems happen and when things come up in life, that it's always someone else's fault, that there's always someone else that is to blame. There's always this person over here, is that politician over there. We wouldn't be in this spot if it wasn't because of them, right? And I encourage us in that. Let's make sure that we take ownership. If there's one thing that I can say that I've learned in the last few years of my life that I wish I'd learned when I was a lot younger, but at least I'm learning now, is the fact that I can only control me. I can't control anyone else around me. I can't control what other people say, what other people do, what other people think, I can't control what happens in life except for me and the things that I can do and the way that I react to what other people do. And if we could get that down as the church, as the body of Christ, as individuals, our families would be so much different. Our churches would be so much different. Our life would be so much different because we would take control of our life and we would make things happen. Does that make sense to everyone? So I just encourage us in that. Let's be prepared for what might come so that we can take ownership that we're going to do something about it and that we're not going to be changed by the things of life. Does that make sense? Jesus himself talks about how believers are not immune to bad stuff happening. He pretty much tells us, hey, when bad stuff takes place, here's what you need to do, right? Paul talks about it that way, that when the storms of life come, when the things happen in our life, what are we going to do? How are we going to react? And I would say more importantly, not just how are we going to react, but how are we going to be prepared ahead of time? Amen. So I just want to talk about some of that stuff today. When life happens around us, what are we going to do? When we believe something, how many of you might be a little bit like me and kind of want to be in control of everything in the entire world? I'm kind of that guy. I don't want to have the responsibility, but if it doesn't go my way, I don't like it all that much, right? And so kind of a control freak in some of those ways. And when something doesn't go right, doesn't go the way that I thought it was going to go, my personality can very much be that guy who gets hit upside the head like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, right? And I think that's the way that a lot of Christians live, that, whoa, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming and we weren't prepared. And many times in that scenario, because we weren't prepared as Christians for what was going to come, we end up staying in that valley, right? And what the Bible's very clear on, if you read all the scripture, is when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going through it. Don't camp in that valley, right? And so many of us, because we're not prepared, it takes us off guard and it's like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. What do I do now? So that's the question I'm asking us today. What do we do now? When life happens, things take place around us, what do we do? You know, I was talking with someone just yesterday about how it's amazing how many people in the past few years have gone through different things and different junk. And we look at some, and some people feel like you look at them and they've grown through the process and things have taken place and now they're stronger. And then you look at some and it's like they're still there. They're still going through it. They're still getting hit. They're still just getting beaten. And it's like they're on the ground and still getting kicked. What's the difference? What's the difference in that? And I think some of the difference is the preparation, is what are we going to do when it comes rather than waiting for it to come and just getting taken blindsided and taken off guard. Amen. So question I ask us today, how are we going to handle what comes tomorrow? So I'm just going to give you a few things in my own life. I'm going to just call these bricks or building blocks or foundational principles, however you want to call it. You just write your own notes and call it whatever you want to call it. But we have to build the foundation in our life to be prepared for when things come. And one of the things that I believe is that we have to have these things predetermined prior to anything ever happening. So number one, this is a very simple one, is a statement that I have for me and my family is Joshua 24:15. You won't be able to quote that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right there, that's the structure. He's the cornerstone. If he's not the cornerstone, our house is going to fall apart. If he's not the center, if he's not the core of our life, everything else is going to fall apart from there. He's the center. If we place him as the center, if we put him in the center of our lives, what does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Many Christians live life waiting for the stuff to get added and waiting for the stuff to happen. And God, give me all this stuff. It's your promise and your word. Okay, well, place him first in our lives. Have him be the center, the core of our life, and then everything else falls from there. Does that make sense? Very simple one, number one. So number two, another decision, predetermination in our life that is a stone that we need to have is I'm going to do what's right. You might say, well, duh, of course you're going to do what's right. That's a goofy statement. Duh, right? But you know, I think when we get further into it, it really is more difficult than that. Right? It really is more difficult than that. We can say, well, duh, we just follow the word of God and everything's going to be great. Okay, well, let's just break that down a little bit, right? There's a reason why Paul warns us all over the place in scripture about all of the stuff that's going to be coming our way. And don't be fooled by the stuff that's coming your way. Don't be fooled by the people who are speaking all of this stuff that is not right. It's because that there's an enticing to it. There's things that look good about it, right? When you're coming along in life, and to use an example of business, and that business deal is in front of you, and man, the wrong route actually looks pretty good. You could become pretty wealthy if you make this decision here. How many of you guys know that ahead of time is when we need to make that decision that says, it doesn't matter what the outcome might be, I'm going to make the right choice. It doesn't matter if it might be a tough outcome and it might be a hard road to walk, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow the principles of God's word and I'm going to do what's right. How many of you guys know that when it comes to life, people are people, I'll say it that way. And when it comes to life, you're going to get hurt. Someone's going to come along your way and someone's going to do something that's going to hurt. And what is the right thing to do? Oof. Now let's not talk about that. That's really tough. We were okay when we were just talking about, you know, we don't lie and we don't do all these things, but forgiveness and walking in love, it's the right thing to do. That's hard. That's a hard thing to do, right? But if we make the choice ahead of time before we're ever hurt, before we're ever put in those scenarios that, you know what, it doesn't matter what happens in life. It doesn't matter what the outcomes are. It doesn't matter what the scenario looks like. I am going to choose to do what's right. And that choice is the beginning of the process, the beginning of walking out forgiveness, the beginning of walking out life with one another. Does that make sense to everyone? It all begins with the choice of I am going to do what's right. Pastor Lynn makes the statement. I love this statement. Used it multiple times in my life. You never go wrong by doing what's right. Love that statement. You can never go wrong by doing what's right. Many times the scenario in front of you and the road that's in front of you can look like that's the hardest route to take, and sometimes it is. But you know what? The process proves that you can never go wrong by doing what's right. We talk about sowing and reaping, right? There's a process that when we sow, you eventually will reap in that process. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes longer than we think it should look. Sometimes it looks a little bit different than we think. But when we walk the process and we do what's right, God is faithful. Amen? I know for me and my family, the last few years, we've been through some junk, been through some things. And I'll just tell you this, people would come to us in that process and everyone have their own opinion and different things in different ways and all that kind of stuff. And it's great. And they would come to us and ask, okay, so what are you going to do next? And there was many times in our life that it was like, I don't really know what we're going to do next. But my statement was always, we're going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. And sometimes those rights are harder routes than other routes, but hey, we're going to do what's right. We're going to walk through this in love and we're going to do what's right. And when we do what's right, again, there's a principle in the Word of God that says He is faithful to do what He is going to do. Amen. Doesn't matter what the outcome. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let's not grow weary in doing good. I love that scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible right there. Because I'll tell you, sometimes you can grow weary doing what's right. You can grow weary just continuing to go on and on and on. And man, sometimes Pastor Lynn uses the statement, who needs this? It's like practicing bleeding, right? And for us, it's like, man, doing what's right sometimes is the harder decisions that we have to make. But when we do what's right, guess what? The process of sowing and reaping is in that. That when we sow to the Spirit, when we sow the good, when we sow what's right, we will reap a harvest of that. Amen. And so many times we get enticed with the other stuff and man, it just looks so much better to go that route. And the Bible's very clear on that, right? It's a very narrow path, right? And all this other stuff, it can look really good and really enticing. And man, I want to go that route and I want to go that route. Let's continue to do what's good, continue to do what's right. And God will be faithful when we're faithful in that process. Does that make sense to everyone? Leads me to my next one. Number three, we base our right or our truth on the Word of God, foundation we have to have in our life. Where does our truth come from? Amen. The Word of God for me is a two-point point. There you go. It would be this, that the Word of God is the written Word of God, right? This is the written Word of God right here. How are we doing at making sure that we're getting into the Word of God? It's not just a Bible, not just a book that we put on the shelf that is old and dusty and all that kind of stuff. And it's an antique and the words that are in it are good, but there's no life to it. No, there's life right here. Amen. But the second part of that is the Word Himself. Jesus, who became flesh, wants to dwell among us and wants to dwell in the inside of the hearts of us. He's the Word, the Bible says. He wants to have relationship with you. The Word of God wants to bring truth to your life. The Word of God wants to bring wisdom to your life. The Word of God wants to help us, and He is a person, and He wants to have relationship with us. So we need to understand truth has to be in our life. And that's not just truth. That's truth. God Himself living on the inside of us. And so many times for us, I would say this, that we're getting our truth from other places, right? Man, we're in the midst of elections and I am going to be so happy when Tuesday is over. I love the fact that we have the ability to vote and I encourage everyone in here to vote. But how many of you are just done with the commercials and the ads? I went to my mailbox yesterday and I literally had like 7 things in my mailbox. No bills, so that was a good thing, but they were all to vote for different people. And it's goofy. And so the propaganda and the things that we're going to hear are going to be a truth, but not the truth. And what are we basing our truth upon? So many of us, I think we base our truth upon CNN and Fox News and what's happening and the fact that, man, if we don't put this guy in office, then we're going to be in trouble. And if we don't do this, then we're going to be in trouble. And the economy is going down and it's going to hell in a handbasket. And if we don't do this and we don't do that, guess what? Our truth is based on the Word of God. Our economy is based on the Word of God. And if we apply that to our life and we allow this and Him to be our truth and what we base our life on, it'll change the way that we live. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So guess what? When the economy is going down, we're not basing our economy on that economy. Our economy is based on the Word of God, on truth. So what truth are we looking at? Let's make sure that our truth is based on the Word of God. Amen. And then number four goes hand in hand with that. It's 2 Corinthians 5:7. I will walk by faith and not by sight. So important. Because how many of you know when there's other truths out there and there's all these other little things that are trying to say, you're not going to make it, it's not going to be good, in a few years, your kids are going to be living in a world that's awful, and all of these kinds of things that you just hear negative, and it just, it's constantly pounding on your door if it's not already inside your home, right? All of these things, and we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where is our truth coming from? And then let's walk out that truth. We're walking by faith and not by sight. Most people are influenced by what they see. Most decisions that we make are based off of the things that we see. What does Paul talk about? It's about the things that are unseen, right? There's so much happening in life. And I'll tell you this, Paul says that we are living in a war. But what's that war? It's not with flesh and blood. It's with principalities and all of those things, right? And so when it comes to the things, if we're only making decisions and we're only living life based on the things that we see, we're missing a big part of the picture. Amen? We have to live by faith. The Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Why is that? It's because when we're living by all of the other truth that comes along, we're not in line with his word. Right? We're not in line with the will that he has for our lives. His will for our lives is to prosper. His will for our lives is to succeed. His will for our lives is to do the calling and to fulfill the calling that he's put on upon our life. And we can't do that when our truth is not based on his truth and when we're not walking that out. Amen? Praying with someone just the other day about different things happening in their life, and just felt to them like, man, just things like, it feels like we're going backwards. Just feels like things are just, I'm praying, but I'm just not seeing any change. Feels like, not even just change, but it feels like I'm going backwards in a lot of these things. And my deal to them is, hey, we do what's right. And then guess what? We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't look at what the circumstances might look like. We don't look at the fact that, all right, well, it looks like the bank account's getting low today. You know what? That's great. Let's get some wisdom in some of those areas. And I think our truth needs to line up so that we're taking care of our bank account. We're doing what's right. All those things align, right? But ultimately then, when we're doing what's right, we can trust in God that our foundation is solid. That when the waves come, when the wind blows, when the rain is there, when the different things are trying to beat down our door, guess what? We can walk in faith that our foundation, what our foundation is built on, is solid, and it's going to withstand whatever comes our way. Amen? As Christians, we should not be moved by what we see. Amen? Let's not run away from pressure. Let's trust that the foundation that we have in our life that we're building is solid and going to withstand and be able to move forward. Amen? Number five, another brick of foundation, if you will, that needs to be in our life is never give up. All of these, I also kind of have a little statement that I make just to myself. These are my statements, and you guys can take them or leave them, but never give up. My statement is, the game's not over till it's over. I love that statement. That statement for me came from my Grandma Lewis. My Grandma Lewis, one of the coolest people I've ever met in my entire life was my Grandma Lewis, and she was as competitive as they come. I remember being 2 years old and playing games, board games with my grandma, and it didn't matter if it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's game time. We're going to do something fun. We're going to do something competitive. And I loved that. And some of the principles that I learned from my grandma was the never give up. The game's not over till it's over. Now, I'm 2 years old, and she's however old she was, and she would never let me win. My grandma would never in a million years let me win, right? And she wouldn't cheat. She made sure, hey, cheating is bad. We're not going to cheat. But ultimately, we learned in that game that you might be 1,000 points behind grandma. But the statement was always, the game's not over till it's over. You step up, you continue to play. You're going to like this, and you're going to play it till the end, right? And I make that sound bad, but really, ultimately what it did is it created something on the inside of me that truly says to this day, I'm not going to give up in the middle of something. I'm going to fight till the end. I don't care if I'm 1,000,000 points behind. I'm going to fight till the end, and I'm never going to give up. And I look at that example that my grandma led, and then I look at the example that Paul gave. Man, Paul is an amazing example of this. When we look at Paul, I don't know if you guys know that Paul went through some stuff in life, right? Paul went through some junk over and over and over. And just how many times did that guy get beaten up? You know what I mean? Eventually, you'd have to go, come on, who needs this? This is just goofy. But Paul had that determination on the inside of him that said, no, I'm never going to give up. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ in Jesus, in that thing, the call of God in Christ Jesus. The determination by Paul to me is such an inspiration to see the junk that he went through and the things that he would go through. And then for him to say, hey, I'm pushing forward. I'm just going to keep on going and I'm going to win this thing. At times it was like you just got imprisoned and you were thrown in jail and you were shipwrecked and you went through all of this stuff and you're going to win this game. I'm going to win this thing. I'm never going to give up. That was the attitude that Paul had. His determination, the word for it in the Greek is H-U-P-O-M-N-E. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Maybe I will. Hupomne. There you go. Probably not even close. But the Greek word means brave courage that remains under fire or pressure, to never give up in any situation. A determination that no matter what's going to happen, never going to give up. That has to be on the inside of us. Can have you know when the storm's coming and the rain's coming and it sounds really bad outside and things are taking place in our life, it'd be really easy sometimes to just give up and we're done. But how many of you know that ultimately when we never give up, there's a principle in God's word that something's going to take place, that we're going to be able to make it. And on the other side of things, God has something so good for your life. That's the God that we serve. Amen. And I think for so many of us, we would look at the different things in life that Paul went through. I complain about one of the things that he went through, and I'd complain about it for years, right? And he talks about it the way that Paul would say it. Let me even just read it here. You ever have a person in your life that you start complaining about something, and then you look at their life, and you're like, I'm not going to complain anymore. They definitely have it way worse than I have ever had it. Paul's that person for me. I look at Paul. He went through way more junk than I've ever even imagined going through. So, but Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this is 2 Corinthians, guys. This is after Paul has gone through so much junk in his life. This is after he's been beat to the point to where he was almost dead, where they thought he was dead. This is after he's been stoned more than once, been whipped, been shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean for 2 days. I guess it wasn't really the ocean. It was a sea, Mediterranean, or wherever he was. But all of these things take place, and then what happens? Paul says, these light afflictions which we suffer, but only for a moment. I love that. That's some perspective in life. Amen. And our response needs to be that of Paul's. Our response is, don't lose heart. Amen. Paul said, this was his consistent verbiage all the way through all of Paul's writings was, keep it up. Keep pushing forward. We have a job to do, right? Don't grow weary in doing what's good. Don't lose heart. Let's keep on doing this. I can hear Paul telling me today, stop your whining, right? Keep pushing forward. Never give up. The game's not over till it's over. So for me, my statement in life is the game's not over till it's over. I'm going to keep on going. It doesn't matter how far behind I am. The game's not over till it's over. We can do this. Amen. And something on the inside of us, when we're able to stir that up, it gives us that extra push, gives us that extra go. Amen. Especially when we base it on the word of God. Number six, and we're going to finish it up real quickly here. I'm going to say a word and y'all are going to gasp and you're going to go, I can't believe he just said that. It's a word that most people, as soon as you say it in church, especially in our background of church, it's like, whoa, we're not going to go there and we're not going to talk about that. Okay. But I'm going to put a twist on it that hopefully gives us a different perspective. And the word perspective is going to be the part of the twist. So suffer with perspective. Okay. Now I'm going to break that apart because instantly I already, you know, here you going, uh-oh, we're not talking about suffering. And I'm not going to go very deep into that at all. But what I will say is this. How many of you know that Paul went through some junk? Would anyone in here say Paul probably suffered a few things in life? Totally. we can look at Paul as this example of how he did this with perspective, right? Paul talks about suffering. When we go through tough times, there will be suffering. There's going to be tough stuff. There's going to be hard things in life. And if we are Christians who walk through life just acting like, well, as soon as I become a Christian, life's going to be fine and dandy, right? You're up for a surprise. And that surprise is going to knock you on your tail, and you're going to be up for a lot of hard stuff in life. What I encourage us in is that we have a response every single time. And our response is things like this. When we go through tough times, there's things, two directions we can always go. We can grow weary, or we can grow stronger. We can go forward, or we can go backwards, right? We can learn, or we can not learn. However, I don't know what the opposite of learning is, to not learn. There you go. You know what I mean? So there's a response that we give. The suffering, the tough times, we can either whine about our problems, or we can grow. We can get stronger. We can move forward. We can change. We can allow the times that we're going through to refine us and to make us stronger and not weaker, right? Those are the things. The point here is that we don't focus on the suffering. Right? The point here is that we're not looking at all of the negative, but when we see the negative, we can do what Paul did. Paul was like, I rejoice in all of this junk that's happening to me. Like, you're weird, right? We rejoice in the junk. Why is that? He wasn't looking at the junk as what was good. He was looking at what was on the other side of it. Because what did he say in that same scripture? He said that it was because of that junk that I was able to see how big God's grace was, how amazing God was. And for us, let's not focus on the junk. Let's not focus on the stuff. Let's allow that stuff to help refine us, allow that stuff to help push us to the other side, and allow the grace of God to work on the inside of us. Amen? He didn't just hide the junk that he went through and sweep it under the rug like nothing happened. He talked about it. He told the stories. He went there. But guess what? There was always, right after he told the story, there was a response that he always gave. But God was good and faithful and delivered me out of them all. Right? You know that scripture? Delivered me out of them all. So what's our response going to be? Our response needs to be thankfulness. And we can do this. And we're going to keep pushing forward, right? 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. I love this here. This is him in a perspective. He's giving, here's what's happened, but here's what happened. Okay? If that makes sense. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. There's some perspective for you. When you're struck down, is the very first thing that comes to your mind is, well, I wasn't destroyed. I'm good to go. When something bad happens to your life, do we see the good stuff in it? Are we thankful? When something takes place and something bad happens in our life, is the very first response that we have, man, thank you, God, that I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, that I'm doing okay. Thank you, Lord, that I have my family. Thank you, Lord, because having that perspective in life is going to be what changes the way that we make our decisions. So the big question that I want to ask us today is, Pastor Lynn spoke a few weeks ago about one of our purposes is to be transformed into the image of Christ, right? That's what we're here for. We're here to be transformed, to become more like Christ. In the situations of life, in the junk, in the stuff that happens, does that stuff help us or hinder us for becoming more like Christ? It's a big question to ask ourselves. And if the things are hindering us, then I would say our foundation needs to be built. Our foundation needs to be stronger, right? We need to place our trust in God. We need to go through these different processes and have these predetermined thoughts and ideas in our mind before anything ever happens. Because our goal in life is for us to grow. And if every single time something comes along, we have to start over, we're missing the whole point, right? Stuff's going to come along in life, and when it knocks you off your bicycle, let's get back on our bicycle and keep on moving. That's a really weird one right there, but there you go. I picture in my own mind with a house that, man, when stuff comes along, you guys remember a couple months ago, all that rain that just kept on coming and coming and coming. Thank God that we have foundations in our homes, and I have a basement. I had a little bit of water in my home, but I could trust that it's not going to be bad, right? We got this thing. Some people, I guess we can do that. But how's our foundation in life, right? And so I ask the question, will we be challenged to go further because of the issues? Or will that pull us away from God And I encourage every one of us that we make that decision ahead of time, that we are going to go further in our walk with God, that we're going to grow from it. We're going to make the decision ahead of time that I'm going to be refined by this junk that's coming after me. I'm going to be better because of it. When you go to the gym, all of those who are workout freaks and they just do it all the time, and you know that, I guess they think it's fun. So that's cool. I'll say that's awesome. We should all be working out, getting healthier. Okay, I'm making that statement right now. But there's a statement of when you go, it's not always fun, right? It hurts. There's a point of it that hurts. Why is that? Because it's breaking down your muscles. And one of the things that I think is important for us to remember is when our muscles break down, it doesn't go all the way back to the beginning again. Right? It's not like it breaks all the way down to when you were 2 years old and you didn't have any muscles. There, it comes back to another start, right? There's another layer that it builds and another layer that it builds and another layer that it builds, and you don't ever have to go back to the beginning. Let's not allow ourselves to be knocked off the bike and then fall into the ditch and get swept down the, that's again, a really weird statement, but let's not allow that to happen in our lives. Let's make sure that as we're breaking things down, as we're breaking things down, as we're growing, as we're exercising, we're allowing that pain, that stuff that we're going through. We're not looking at the pain. Sometimes people get excited about it because, oh man, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to look so good in 2 seconds from right now, right? That's the mentality that we really have to have, is that in the future, it might take some time, but this is going to be good, and I'm not going to grow weary in doing what's right. We're going to keep pushing forward. We're going to trust in God. We're going to believe what the Word of God says, and ultimately, there will be something that will come to fruition from that. Does that make sense to everyone? And so I just encourage us, wherever we are in this, let's allow our stuff that we go through to help transform us into the image of God, of Christ. Let's not let it take us further away, but let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind according to His Word, and that's how we move forward. Amen? Praise God. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for your word. I just pray for every individual who's in this room today, God. I just thank you, Father, that maybe there's some that have just struggled through life and just every time something bad happens, it just feels like you go further into the ditch. And Father, I just pray, I just thank you so much, God, that this word that goes out today, God, can just help to change lives. I just really believe, God, that you're going to do something on the inside of us. And I just pray for every single individual here who maybe hasn't done that very first step of putting you first, of making you the center block of their life, of making you the foundation of their life, God. Those who haven't given their life to you, God, I can't imagine living without you. So, Father, I just thank you that you're working on their hearts right now. You're dealing on their hearts. Father, I pray for every other person in this room. I just believe, God, that stuff is tough and life happens, and I don't even mean to demean it at all because life is rough sometimes. And God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who brings comfort in their lives even right now, who's bringing to them your peace. And God, I just believe ultimately that as we create this foundation in our lives, that it's going to be something that will help us to grow and to put on those other layers and those other